You know, as we think of the resurrection of Jesus Christ on this very special day, there are many passages of Scripture, there are many, if you will, many avenues from which we can look and think and meditate and speak about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Where do you begin? At what point in the Bible, at what portion of Scripture do you take this morning as a pastor to preach about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? It's a wonderful problem to have. In fact, it's a great problem to have, because there's so many places in the Bible where you could just go to and preach about the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning. You know, kids, when you think of Jonah, and when we remember the story of Jonah, and what a great story it was, that Jonah is in disobedience, fleeing, running away from God. And God stops Jonah and gets him back on track and gets him to be obedient to the word of God and to do God's will. But how did God do that? Well, we know that God used a whale, that Jonah was on that ship, and as a storm came up, they threw him out into the sea, and he was swallowed by a whale, and then that whale spit him up on the land. But stop and consider for a moment, young people, why? Why did God use a whale? You know, many times in the Bible, God would use different aspects of nature or different animals to get across his point, to get across his message. He would feed Elijah with a raven. Can you imagine, young person, a bird bringing you your lunch? Can you imagine what was that like? There you are, and you're in the middle of the wilderness, the desert, and all of a sudden, here comes this big black bird flying over, and all of a sudden that bird just drops you your lunch. Wow, that would have been awesome. Or how about that man in the Old Testament that's going down the road, and all of a sudden his donkey starts to speak? Can you imagine? I mean, I've petted a lot of horses and even petted some donkeys, but I've never had one speak to me. But why did God use a whale? And why did God use that whale to swallow Jonah and to spit him up on ground on the third day? Because in the New Testament, Jesus would say to a group of people, to the Pharisees and the scribes and people that were very religious, they said, "Show us a sign. Show us a sign." And Jesus said, "There'll be no sign given." He says, "The only picture you will see is Jonah." And you see, young people, when you read about Jonah, you read the story of Jonah, God had a purpose in Jonah's life. He had a purpose in that whale swallowing Jonah and that whale spitting Jonah up on the ground. And that was a picture story, if you will, of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we could look this morning from the different pictures in the Bible that are given to us to tell us about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We could look at many passages in the Old Testament. We could look at the different writings in the Psalms. We could look at the prophets. In fact, Peter would write in 1 Peter, and he would speak about the prophets, and he would say, "They testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." And there's one passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 53 where we are so familiar with it because it speaks of the man of sorrows, Jesus Christ, that would die for us. And in Isaiah 53, it says this. In Isaiah 53, and the page won't turn. Isaiah 53, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse number 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. You know, and in verse number 5 and verse number 6 and 7, it speaks about Jesus Christ going to the cross as the Lamb of God. In verse number 8, it speaks about his death. In verse number 9, it says he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. But Isaiah 53, and the prophet doesn't stop there, but in verse number 10, it says this, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. There in verse number 10 and verse number 11, it speaks about how God was satisfied with Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, as the perfect sacrifice, that God was satisfied with the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. But look at verse number 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And verse number 12 speaks about the resurrection and the glory that followed the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. And so we can look at pictures like Jonah. We can look at the prophets like Isaiah. We could go over to the New Testament and we could read the account in Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, we read Matthew chapter 27 about the cross. And down in verse number 66, as Jesus Christ is laid in that tomb, it says, so they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. And so they put a great stone, a big stone, upon the opening of that tomb. But that stone couldn't hold the Lord Jesus Christ. And death could not hold the Lord Jesus Christ. And Matthew chapter 28, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Man, what an exciting moment that must have been for those ladies, for those women. As the angel told them, he's not here, he is risen. And so we can look at the pictures in the Old Testament. We can read the words of the prophet. We can read the account in Matthew chapter 28. In fact, we could go to the Gospel of John and we could look at the promises that the Lord Jesus Christ made. In John chapter 2, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was seated there with his disciples after he'd done his first miracle and manifested his glory, he said to the disciples and those around him, he says, destroy this temple. And he was looking at the temple in Jerusalem. He says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will build it up again. And he was speaking of himself. He was saying, when you destroy this temple, this body, 3 days, I will rise it up again. He says, I will die. I will be crucified. I will die, but I will rise again. And so we can look at the pictures. We can look at the prophets. We can look at the actual account of when Jesus Christ arose. We can look at the promises that Jesus Christ made. So many. We could even go and look further in the Gospels, because Luke said in Acts chapter 1, he says that Jesus Christ showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. And we could look and we could see the testimony of the ladies. We could see the testimony of the disciples as they were in that room on the night and that day when Jesus Christ arose. And all of a sudden, Jesus Christ would appear in their presence and say, "Peace be unto you." And he would show them his hands. He would show them his sides. And he would show them that he was alive. We could go to the testimony of those disciples that walked on the road to Emmaus. And he opened the scriptures and just shared all things and told them all things concerning himself. And they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he walked with us by the way and as he opened up the scriptures?" We could go further in the Gospel of John and we could see the other times when Jesus Christ would meet with his disciples. On that morning when he was at that lake and they came in from fishing all night, and he said to them, "Come and dine," and he fellowshipped with them. We could read through the epistles and hear what Paul and Peter and John would write concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so this morning we could look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ from many different perspectives. We could look at it from just a general overview. We could look at it from the detailed, specific truths and facts about the resurrection. But you know, many times it's possible to look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ from all those ways and all those different perspectives. In fact, we could look at it from the perspective of different people, from the mother of Jesus and the women that stood there at the cross, to the thief and what it meant to him, to the soldiers, to the disciples. We could look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ from all these different ways. But you know, there are people that would look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and hear it from all these different angles, and it only go as far as their head. Never reach their heart. Jesus Christ died on that cross and rose again so that that message would reach your heart and you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But this morning, as Christians, this morning, as people that have trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior, I want us to look at a portion of Scripture and see how the resurrection of Jesus Christ should and can impact and affect our personal lives as believers. As believers. Pastor Donnie mentioned in the beginning, before he prayed, he read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death and the burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That gospel message is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But as a believer, as a child of God, am I just to look back at the resurrection? Am I just to look at the resurrection and what took place and know and understand that that's the gospel and that, yes, it brought me salvation? Or is there more to the resurrection of which I should think about? Is there more to the resurrection about which I should meditate on? And I want to turn your attention this morning to the book of Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. For Paul is writing in Philippians chapter 3, and Paul says this, Philippians chapter 3, and beginning in verse number 7. And I want to read this passage of Scripture because Paul in Philippians chapter 3 brings forth to you and me how the resurrection of Jesus Christ should have an impact on our life as Christians. And that's what I want this morning. That's what I want for you this morning. That's what I want for me this morning. I want this message this morning. I want the resurrection of Jesus Christ to do more than reach my mind, to do more than reach my ears, to do more than reach my eyes. I want it to reach to my heart as a child of God and change my life even today more for him. So in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 7, we begin to read, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Paul is writing about all the things in his life before he came to know Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended for Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray this morning that your word would speak to our hearts as your children, as believers that have trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Speak to our hearts this morning, O Lord, I pray, in Jesus' precious name, amen. As Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, he is writing to Christians. The book of Romans is an exposition on the gospel, that it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God, which is a power of God unto salvation. But here in Philippians, he is writing to Christians. And as he writes to Christians, he says, you know, everything that was in my life before I came to know Christ, he says, it's of no value. He says, what is of value is Christ. He says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. In fact, he goes on down in verse number 13, and he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, he says, reaching forth unto those things which are ahead or before. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul says, I came to know Jesus Christ. I came to trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior one day on the road to Damascus when I saw the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory. And I fell on my knees and said to him, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He says, that was the moment when I, as an individual, I as a man, a sinner, was saved through faith in Jesus Christ. But he says, now, as a child of God, as a believer, as a Christian, he says, I want to press ahead. I want to forget those things that are behind. And I want to reach forth unto that which is ahead. I want to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul is going to tell us how to do that. And it involves the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want you to look in verse number 10. This is what Paul says. That I may know him. You know, as Paul is writing that, and as I thought about that, Paul says that I may know him. And you know, Christian, that is the key to having victory in the Christian life. The key to victory is knowing him. The victory of the Christian is in knowing Jesus Christ. Not just knowing him at the point of salvation, but knowing him in a very personal way, every day of my life, that I know him. You know, stop and consider, why would we not want to know more of Jesus Christ and know him more personally? David wrote in Psalm 40, and he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. And he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of that miry clay, And he set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. I mean, just stop and consider. Think of the great deliverance that Jesus Christ has done in your life. He brought you up from that horrible pit of sin, set your feet upon the rock. And as great as that deliverance is in your life, doesn't that create in you a longing to know more of the one that delivered you, Jesus Christ? I mean, he rescued you. He paid the price for your sin. He forgave you of all your sin. He delivered you from the judgment of God and the fires of hell. He has given you eternal life. He's given you a home in heaven. That ought to stir within us a burning longing, a desire, a passion to know him more every day. And that's why Paul says that I may know him, that I may know him. You know, being a Christian is all about knowing Jesus Christ. It's all about knowing him. John would write in 1 John chapter 1, these things write we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. And Paul writes and he says, I just want to know him more. I just want to know him more. And Christian, that is the key to victory in every area of your life. Every personal area, every other aspect of your life, the key to a victorious life, the key to success is knowing Jesus Christ. Don't look somewhere else. Don't seek something else, but seek to know him more personally. Because when you walk with Jesus Christ, and if you walk with Jesus Christ, and if you seek for that relationship with Jesus Christ, there can only be one result. And that is a result of victory. When you don't have victory, when you're not having victory in your life, here is the reason why, is because you are seeking something else. You've walked away from Jesus Christ. You might not think you have, but you have. But when you walk with Jesus Christ and you know him, Jesus Christ is the victory. And in verse number 10, Paul says something, and here's where I want to bring it out to you. In verse number 10, that he says, I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And here's where the victory is. It's resurrection victory. It's resurrection power. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know, in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4, in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4, as it speaks of Jesus Christ, it says this. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace. But it says he was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. You know, if you turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Let me show you something. It says he was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection. But in Romans chapter 5, when it speaks about us, it says in Romans chapter 5, in verse number 6, for when we were yet without strength, you know, before you trusted in Jesus Christ, your Savior, the Bible not only says you were without peace, it not only says you were without spiritual life, it not only says you were without hope, but the Bible also says you were without strength. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And before you came to Jesus Christ, and before you trusted in Jesus Christ, your Savior, you were without strength. But you know, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says this. In Philippians 4 and verse number 13, it says this. Now, through Christ, look what it says. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Did you get that this morning? Before you came to know Christ, you were without strength. And now Paul says, through Christ, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. And Paul's relating to every aspect of our life. I can, not through myself, but I can, through Christ, do all things because he is the one that strengthened me. And as Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, it's because of the power of his resurrection. But let's understand something this morning. When Paul speaks about knowing him and the power of his resurrection, he is speaking about knowing the power of the resurrection within. That's point number one, within. Not a power without. We see God's power many times without. We see God's power in circumstances of life. But Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and he's speaking about within his own life. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes. Once again, he's writing to Christians. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes this in verse number 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Notice he says, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He says, I'm praying for you. All right, Paul, what are you praying for? What is your prayer for me as a Christian? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He says, I am praying that God gives you a knowledge. He says, I'm praying that God gives you an understanding. He says, I'm praying that God opens your eyes to his truth regarding your life, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then Paul says, here's my prayer. Here's what he wants us to know. Here's what God wants us to know this morning as Christians. Here's what God wants us to understand. Here's what God wants our eyes to be open to, so that we see that we can have the victory through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That you would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Paul says, my prayer to God is this, that you as a believer, that you as a Christian would understand, that your eyes would be open to the exceeding greatness of the power of God to you, according to the working of his mighty power when Jesus Christ arose from the grave. But turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and see how this translates into our life, impacts our life. Because Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, once again, he prays. Once again, he says, here's what I'm praying for. For this cause, in verse number 14, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Look at Paul says, he says, I'm praying that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to what? To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. He says, I'm praying that God would strengthen you by his spirit, the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ up from the grave. This is the resurrection power within, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye may, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And Paul says that resurrection power that is within us by the indwelling of the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of Christ, that indwelling power is what gives us strength, that we would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And Paul says this, and God says this, and Jesus Christ wants us to know this, that he is able, through the power of Christ, the resurrection power, through the resurrection power of Christ within you and me, that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So what does that mean? That means that there is no aspect of my life that is beyond the scope of the power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. For God to do something miraculous, to impact and to change and give me victory in every area of my life. That's the resurrection power within. And so, first of all, when Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, Paul is not speaking about seeing the resurrection power outside in circumstances. He says, I want to know him so that I know and see the resurrection power of Jesus Christ changing my life from within. But when that change, when that resurrection power works within us, when the Spirit of the living God who indwells us impacts and fills us and moves us and changes us, as it says in Romans chapter 8, that we've been conformed to the image of Christ. It changes us within. It impacts us within. But it also impacts, as it impacts within, it impacts without in our walk. In our walk, in our daily life. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at the difference. Here's the difference. If you're truly a child of God, then the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, lives within you. That same Spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ up from the grave. And the power of that Spirit is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Here's how it works. Here's how it works in our walk, in our life. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. He made us alive. We were dead in our trespass and sin. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, it says in the beginning of this chapter, it says, in times past you walked according to lusts of your own flesh, but now you walk in the newness of life. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Turn back to the book of Romans chapter 6 for a moment. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, it speaks of how the death of Christ and the life of Christ and the resurrection of power of Christ affects our life. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What's that newness of life? That newness of life is a resurrection life of Jesus Christ, the power of that resurrection. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if you be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Turn over to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, the Bible says this. The Bible says this. And here once again, it's referring to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that indwells us. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the grave. And when Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, he understood that it was within. It was the Spirit of Christ, the resurrected Christ that lived within him. And it affected his life. It affected his walk. Look what it says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Because when you walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because when you walk in the Spirit, you walk in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And that's when your life has victory, when you are walking in the power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ by his Spirit that lives within you. If we were to turn back to one more passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 8, in Romans chapter 8, verse number 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse number 8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so the Spirit of God dwell in you. And so Paul writes, and the first point is this, when Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, he says that power is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in my life by the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. He says it affects my walk. That's the second point. It affects my walk. If I walk in the Spirit, I shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But instead, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, goodness, meekness, temperance. All those things that are righteousness. All those things that bring honor and glory to God. And so Paul says that I may know him. That I may know the power of his resurrection, a power within me, within my life, by the Spirit of God, resurrection power that gives me victory. It gives me victory within. It gives me victory in my walk. And I can walk in the Spirit and please God. I am dead to sin. I am alive unto God. And I can please God because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ within me. But there's one more. Turn back to Acts chapter 1. Because this resurrection power is the power within us. It's the power that impacts and changes our walk and our life. And we walk in newness of life, as it says in Romans chapter 6. But in Acts chapter 1, there's one more thing about this power. In Acts chapter 1, this resurrection power, the Spirit of Christ, it indwells us, the same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the grave. Look what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And this resurrection power, by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Ghost dwelling within us, gives us the power to declare and bear witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul would write to the church at Corinth, and he would write this. He would write to the church at Corinth, and as he wrote to them, he would say this in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. You know, as you read the scriptures and you read Paul's words, you say, what do you mean? Not excellency of speech. Man, his speech is so clear, and that's because it was the Spirit of God that gave him the words. But he says, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He says, my words, my speech, more than it being fine and more of excellency of speech, he says it was a demonstration of the Spirit of God and the power of God. Why? So that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And the resurrection and power of Jesus Christ is which gives us strength and authority and confidence to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. To tell you this morning, listen, I tell you this morning by the Spirit of God that indwells me and gives me authority and the confidence to tell you this morning that the only way to be saved is through faith in Jesus Christ. The only way to be saved from your sin and to understand and know that you'll spend eternity in heaven and not in hell is because Jesus Christ died for your sins. As Pastor Donnie mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15, he died for your sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and was raised again the third day. And through the power of the Spirit of God, I can stand here this morning with all the authority of the Word of God, with all the authority of God, with all the authority and the power of the Spirit of God within me, tell you, you need to be saved this morning. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You need to be saved this morning, and the only way to be saved is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so this morning, as we think of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as Christians, as we meditate on the resurrection of Jesus Christ has risen. Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ is on the right hand of God. And Jesus Christ is alive in you today. He lives in you by his Spirit. He lives within, and the power of his resurrection is seen within. It affects our walk, and it gives us the power to witness and tell others about Jesus Christ. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 57, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that starts with the message of the gospel. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And then it goes on in chapter 15 to speak all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it comes down to verse number 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the victory of knowing him, that's where the victory is. That's where the victory is, that I might know him. That's where the victory is in my life. Because when I know him, I know the reality of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in my life, within me, affecting my walk and giving me the power by the Spirit of God to tell you this morning, ye must be born again. Let's pray.